Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. The film's The Last Showgirl, Good One, and The Fire Inside.
Well, I'd like to start off by talking about a movie with last in the title, The Last Showgirl. This is a movie that was directed by Gia Coppola. Yes, 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 another member of the famous Coppola family, Francis Ford Coppola and the others. And she's a young member of that family. The movie was written by Kate Gerstin. And it is, in fact, about a woman who is a last showgirl in a way, which is to say that she's part of a kind of an enterprise out in Las Vegas, as a matter of fact, which appears to be fading away. And yet she has spent a lot of her life in this enterprise, and she's not sure what she's going to do next. And that is where the drama of this movie comes from. So The Last Showgirl stars Pamela Anderson, best known in the past as a sort of a glamorous babe. Well, she now is playing in The Last Showgirl a woman named Shelley. She is in her 50s, heading towards 60, and for more than half of her life so far, she has been performing in this show, a very sort of a low-rent, low-prestige show in Las Vegas called La Razzle Dazzle. And okay, she's been earning a living at that, and she's been in it for a very, very long time. Again, it's been about 30 years that she's been there. And now most of the other members of the chorus are younger than she is, but she keeps on plugging away because this is how she's earned her living for such a very long time. Then it turns out that in just a couple of weeks, La Razzle Dazzle is going to shut down because ticket sales have been declining, and it's going to be replaced by a different kind of a show that just is not going to have room for Shelley. So what is she going to do now? How is she going to support herself? What's going to happen here? Along the way, we also meet her closest friend, who is an older woman who's played by the terrific Jamie Lee Curtis. So Jamie Lee Curtis has been around also in the business a very long time. And I have to give so much credit to Jamie Lee Curtis for being in this movie the way she is. Pamela Anderson is playing an aging woman, a woman of a certain age. She's going on 60, and she does that without adding any artificial glamour. However, Jamie Lee Curtis, who plays the best friend, her name is Annette, she really de-glamorizes herself in this role. She really looks like a woman who is no longer what she once was, who is really, really aging very, very visibly. And Jamie Lee Curtis plays that in a very visible way. And I just give her all the credit in the world. When once upon a time you were a very, very, by conventional standards, attractive young woman, now you're playing an older woman who is long beyond her prime where conventional looks are concerned. And my gosh, Jamie Lee Curtis really does that. So the two main performances in this movie by Pamela Anderson and Jamie Lee Curtis are really, really impressive and very, very well done, and both very bold in their own ways. Of course, there's also quite a number of other characters in the film as well, and they are all played very, very well. So what we have here is the crisis that Shelley is facing. What's going to happen to her now that the show is shutting down, which is where she's earned her living for 30 years. And she doesn't want to join the new show. She doesn't even think she can really do it. She starts auditioning for other shows, but nothing just works out for her. She is, after all, an older woman in a business that really puts a very high price on glamour. So that's what the movie is all about. Then we also find out about Annette's difficulties. She has a lot of financial problems of her own. She's an alcoholic. She's addicted to gambling and so forth. And then we also have Shelley's daughter, Hannah, an adult daughter who has been a photography student for a while, and she's doing okay for herself, but she is really not getting along with her mother. They've been estranged from each other for quite a long while, and Hannah comes to see Shelley and horrifyingly in the movie, she comes to see Shelley's show and then delivers a harangue to Shelley about what a low-class, degrading show this is. How can she do this, she says to her mother and so forth, as if her mother didn't have to earn a living, and it didn't used to be quite as degrading it is now. Anyway, that's another tension that enters into the movie. So we have a movie which is about family. We have a movie which is about friendship. We have a movie which is about the struggles of making a living in today's complicated world. And it's a very, very well done movie. It's not a masterpiece of a movie, but it's really, really very beautifully done. Gia Coppola, I think, has real talent as a director. And again, the acting, the cast is really, really good. So I had a good time watching. It's not exactly a good time movie, but I had a good time watching The Last Showgirl. It's a very, very nicely done, beautifully filmed movie. And if you want to see a quiet human drama with all kinds of very realistic problems being faced by realistic people in realistic ways, and they very often they don't have a clue as to what they ought to do, then this is really a movie to see. It's a very, very impressive start to this movie year, I think, to have a movie like The Last Showgirl come along. Next, I'd like to talk about a movie called Good One, and I'm very, very glad to report that Good One is a good movie. And it was directed and written by a new filmmaker named India Donaldson, and once again, I think she has a lot of talent. In fact, all three of today's movies that I'm talking about were directed by women, so yes, there are women out there directing movies in today's industry, and oh gosh, these three are really talented. And the most interesting thing about Good One is that it is a quiet movie, a subdued movie, a subtle movie in every way, and yet it really works. I just sat there and was just captivated by it. It's a marvelous movie. It never, never jumps out at you. It never tries to make an impression on you, but it really succeeds at just doing exactly what it wants to do. Now, it has three main characters. The most important one is a young woman, an adolescent, played by Lily Kulyas, who is just excellent in this film. And her name is Samantha, Sam she is known as. And she is on a hiking trip, a three-day hiking trip with her father and with her father's best friend. And the father's best friend is going through a bit of a hard time because his son was also supposed to come along, but they had a huge fight in the very, very beginning of the movie, and the son is now stormed back inside and is not along on the trip. So you have the father, you have the father's best friend. The best friend is missing his son, who really ought to be with them, but above all, you have Lily, the young woman, at the center of the story. So what happens in this film? The three of them go on their hiking trip, and they have tiny little adventures, little tiny things. They're not dramatic. They're not full of danger. They're just perfectly ordinary people on a perfectly ordinary hiking trip out in the country. First of all, they have to drive there. They live in New York City. They drive upstate, and they start hiking, and oh, little things happen. They run into some other people on a hiking trip who sort of set up their camp a little bit too near our main characters. And that's just a teeny little bit awkward, but again, no big deal is made out of it. Sometimes they have little fights. The father and the best friends sometimes get a little rouse with each other, and oh, why are you doing this, and why don't you do that? But mainly, these three people, our main characters, are getting along, and they're having a good time, and Lily is right there in the middle of it. I mean, Sam. Lily is the actress who plays Sam. And that's it. That's what the movie is. So you might say, why would I watch this? Well, one reason is simply because you see three very real appearing people played in very real appearing ways by three really, really good actors who managed to make even the smallest little moments, the smallest little hints of tiny little bits of conflict around the edges interesting and absorbing and something you want to look at and you want to see how they turn out. Then something happens, and I'm not going to reveal what it is, but something happens pretty late in the movie. One of the male characters says a little bit of something to Sam, the young woman, which isn't quite what you ought to say to a young woman like that. And it's just the littlest moment. It's not a big moment, but it eats away at Sam. She is just bothered by this. And eventually she tells her father about it. So that's all I'm going to reveal right now. But that is the high drama at the great climax of this movie. And it is, to use words I used earlier, it is so quiet and so subtle and so subdued that it's just a joy to watch because it is such a contrast with all of the huge, high, in-your-face drama that most Hollywood movies and most American movies and most movies anywhere are always pushing at us. So, gee whiz, Good One is admirable for being quiet, restrained, and subdued, and yet completely gripping. The nature shots are beautiful. We're not in some exotic part of the world here. We're just in upstate New York. But it's beautiful to look at these places. Sometimes the cinematography is, in fact, very striking. But mainly you get to watch the acting, you get to watch the quiet little story, and you get to watch that little moment of drama that adds such flavor to the movie when it finally happens. It's a really, really beautiful movie. Good One is, I'll repeat myself, a good one. Finally, I want to talk about The Fire Inside. This is a boxing movie. Now, for reasons I've never figured out, I'm not a sports person myself, and I'm not a prize fighting person myself. But boxing movies tend to be really good. There's really a whole lot of them, a whole lot of classics. You can go back to the 1940s and you find a movie like Body and Soul. You can come up to the 1980s and you find Raging Bull, the great Robert De Niro movie by Martin Scorsese. There's Rocky, which is a movie I've always been very loyal to, a terrific movie, and of course the movie that launched Sylvester Stallone's career. You have movies like The Setup, which is a film noir, Fat City, which is sort of a film noir too. You can go back to the television days of Requiem for a Heavyweight back in the 1950s, 1960s. So, my gosh, you just have a long list of good boxing movies made over the years. And there's movies outside of America, too, like the Italian movie Rocco and His Brothers. So boxing seems to make for good movies. Of course, there's bad boxing movies, too. But The Fire Inside is yet another one of the good boxing movies. It's just so engaging, so wonderful. And once again, we have a female filmmaker, Rachel Morrison. Before now, she's been best known as a cinematographer, and in fact, she's, I think, the only woman to this day to win an Academy Award nomination for Best Cinematography, and her camera work in this movie is really, really, really terrific. The movie was written by Barry Jenkins, also a very important filmmaker in his own right, and usually a movie director, although he's a movie writer too. So we have a movie written by Barry Jenkins, a very good filmmaker, directed by Rachel Morrison, a newer but also a very good filmmaker, and it's a really good picture, and it's based on a real story. So, the real story is about a young woman whose name is Clarissa Shields, and she's real. This movie is based on real life. And she was born and raised in Flint, Michigan, which is where a lot of this movie takes place, and her ambition, she's a boxer. She starts off by finally getting a coach to take her on, and he agrees to take her on. And she really turns out to have a gift for boxing. And again, the coach in the movie, Jason Crutchfield, was the real coach of Clarissa Shields in real life. So he takes her on, he coaches her, and she turns out to be really, really good. And her ambition is to get into the Olympics in London. And I'm just going to give away a little bit of what happens in the movie here, but we have her training, we have her becoming better and better and better, we have her finally going off to the London Olympics, and this is all history, so I guess I can give it away. And yes, she won a gold medal at the London Olympics. So that's where a whole lot of this drama comes from. And we also have her working with her absolutely terrific coach, played by the wonderful actor Brian Tyree Henry, who is a perfect match for Ryan Destiny, who plays Clarissa Shields. So we have a young woman, Ryan Destiny, an older man, Brian Tyree Henry, both superb actors, and they are just acting up a storm in this wonderful movie. So that's what the movie's about. And you see Clarissa working on her way to get up into the Olympics, and then we see her do very, very well at the Olympics. Then, though, the movie still has quite a long way to go. So what's going to happen now? Shouldn't this movie be over now? But no, because then the problem becomes that because she is a woman, and because most boxers are not women, and because most women boxers are not hugely successful the way Clarissa Shields has been, she can't get any of the endorsements and the deals and the money-making things that boxers are supposed to get and almost always do get when they have won a gold medal at the Olympics. So that becomes her next struggle. And this is where, maybe more than any place else in the movie, racism enters into it, all kinds of racial questions and difficulties and conundrums. So that's what The Fire Inside is also very, very much about. Of course, the title refers to that passion you have to have in you to become really excellent at a sport, the way Clarissa Shields did in real life and the way she does in the movie, but it's also about the fire inside our society, I think, and the problems that arise for a young woman, especially a young black woman, when you're trying to achieve top success in a society which really does have racism still ingrained into it. In certain ways, The Fire Inside reminded me of another excellent boxing movie, one of the very, very best, in fact, Million Dollar Baby, the great, great, great Clint Eastwood movie, which I cannot recommend too highly, because there, too, we have the rise of a female boxer, and then the movie still has a long way to go, and that's when some of the real drama starts. So in a way, The Fire Inside is also doing that. But my main reasons for recommending it are that it's just a really, really powerful, may I say, it's a drama with a very, very hard punch. It really gets to you. And again, Ryan Destiny and Brian Tyree Henry give two of the year's very, very best performances. And, well, I just think this movie deserves all the success it can get. It's about real social issues. It's about real human issues. And it's also a boxing movie. So I say, by all means, see The Fire Inside. It's a really good picture. So that is my very upbeat story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films The Last Showgirl, Good One, and The Fire Inside.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.